Please turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 5. You teenagers, get your phones out. Pull up your Bible program, please. Get them out. It's all right. Let's use social. Let's take God into cyberspace. Let's go. And he's already there. But look up Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look in verse number 5. Follow along with me, please. Verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I know what you're thinking. We hear about this verse all the time. But I want you to look at it tonight with fresh eyes, as I did this week. I want you to just take away all the preconceived ideas of everything you've ever heard me say about it. And let's just look at the Bible for a second and let God speak. Look at it again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. And tonight, God, it is good to fellowship. And I pray, Father, you'd bless us as we look to your word. Continue to stir us and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody ever said to you, what were you thinking? I mean, they just look at you and go, what were you thinking? I mean, where did that come from? And a lot of the things that we think we start with in our mind, we don't realize that it actually starts in our heart before we think about it. When somebody, have you ever asked somebody, well, what were you thinking? I do this with my kids all the time. What were you thinking? And they're like, I don't know. That's the classic answer. I don't know. That's because it didn't hit their mind, but first it came from their heart first. In this section of Scripture, you don't just see the mind of Christ. You see the heart of Christ expressed through the mind of Christ and the life of Christ. The heart, mind, and life of Christ are inseparable, just like they are with you. Your mind is not inseparable from your heart. All sin starts in our heart. All goodness starts in our heart. Well, our thoughts, yes, but it starts here. When I've come to realize when I say, what were you thinking? It dawns on me it was in their heart first. It was in their heart to do first. Then they thought about it. Then they did it. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Of course, we think of the bad things, but it's the same thing with your goodness. The things that you do that are good, the things that you do that are positive, that are a blessing to the kingdom of God and to the people around you. You know, when you think about the person in the cubicle next to you, what good you've done to them first started in your heart, and then it came to your mind, and you thought about it, and then you executed it in your life. That is the transition of all good and bad. So as you think of, well, how do I do this, something good? I want to do something good for so-and-so. It started in your heart because your heart had it to do. It was in there to do it. And then your mind thought about it. And now your life's going to do good to them because of it. In here, when we look at this section of Scripture, we always default and think, well, it's in the mind of Christ. Let me tell you, it was in his heart to do first before it was in his mind. We find because of the heart of Christ, we have salvation. It says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was in his heart to do. That's what I love about the last verse, verse 11. To the glory of God the Father. It was in his heart to glorify his Father. It was in Christ's heart to do this. And it started there and it came out in not only in his thoughts, but also in his speech and in his actions, just like it does us. See, it's always been about the heart of Christ. And because of that, we're saved. Because of the heart of Christ, we're also secure in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. That isn't because he thought it. It's because of who Christ is. His character is an extension of his heart. This is who Christ is. And a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that when we're not sure of the future, we're not sure of our lives, go back and remember the heart of God who loves you. that all goodness started in God the Father's heart, then in his mind as he looked at you and favored you. We're saved because of the heart of Christ. We're sure. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that it's the love of Christ that constraineth us, that motivates us, that compels us. It's because Christ loves us. One of the great things about our Father and our God is he doesn't try to lead you out of guilt. How many of y'all were raised in a religious setting where guilt was the primary motivating force? Amen. Amen. Same thing, right? Guilt. Guilt was the primary motivating force. Do you realize your Heavenly Father is not trying to guilt you to do things? He wants you to be motivated because he loves you. Just as we look at our children, we want them to be motivated not out of fear that they're going to be disciplined, but motivated to obey because they love us first and foremost. See, it starts in the heart. When I think of the dumb things my kids do, I think, I want to say, well, what were you thinking? But I realize it was in their heart to do first before it became a thought and before it became an action. It was in their heart to do. If we get our hearts right, if we'll line our hearts up with the heart of God, our thinking will be right, our life will be right. See, we got to settle it. In Acts 2, verse 36, Peter was preaching on Pentecost, and he said, God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. We have to settle it in our hearts that he is not just our Savior, but he's our Lord. We can think about it all day. We can make hollow actions to follow through on it. But if it's not in our heart to do, it'll never last. Obedience really starts at the heart. It's not about how. That's up here in our mind. Our mind is always thinking about how do I do this? How do I live this out? How do I glorify my Father? How do I obey? The truth is it's got to be in our hearts first to do it. The rest will take care of itself. The problem is I know my own heart sometimes is just rebellious. And so there is no thought in mind. It all starts here. We have to settle it. He's not just our Savior. That the lover of my soul is also the king of my life. We need to live and love souls because that's what was on the heart of the Father and the heart of our Christ. It was souls. Now, as I said, we look at Philippians 2:5 and we think of the mind of Christ. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. Talking about an attitude, a thought, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The mind of the heart of our Savior was to glorify the Father. The mind of our Savior was the fact that Christ knew his place in all of this. He knew why he came. He knew why he was here. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. He knew the purpose of it all. He knew it was not about him. It was not about him. It was about the Father. In John chapter number 5 and verse 30, listen to what it says. John 5 and verse 30. The Bible reads, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Maybe you haven't looked at it this way. Maybe you never thought of it this way. I know I didn't. I mean, I always knew that Christ knew why he was here, but he knew his place in it. He knew what his place was. He knew what his role was. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he looked at his earthly mother and said, why is it you sought me? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? He knew his place in God's plan. Where is your place in God's plan? Where is your place in this world and in this kingdom? How would you describe it? How would you define your current existence right now? Or do you know what role you're to be playing in God's plan right now? See, the mind of Christ knew what his role was. He knew his place. It defined him. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the Father's will. My family were Chevrolet people growing up. Everything was small block Chevy. Everything was small block Chevy. And we had parts laying everywhere on the dining room table and in Dad's office and in the garage and in the breezeway. We had parts everywhere. But I can tell you right now, it was to a small block Chevy. It was to a 350 and it went into something. And you could, I'm not sure what, you know, if you, whatever you needed, just look around. You'll find it and it'll work because why? Everything we had was Chevrolet. That's how we defined ourselves. We're just Chevy folks. We didn't have no use for Dodge. Didn't know what to do with a Dodge. Didn't know how to have it. Fords, you know, that's fine, but we were Chevy people. How do you define yourself? See, no anymore, cars are not to get us from A to B. It's an image we're trying to maintain. It's something we want to project to other people. Do your possessions define who you are? Do you have the biggest dog and the tallest truck and the biggest set of horns on your wall? Was in Brother Mark's office, and he got his bear rug that day. Did you see that on Facebook? He got his bear rug. He had this big old hog head on the wall and some big racks of antlers and a big old turkey with a big, like a 6-inch or 6-7-inch beard sticking out of the front of it. Man, it was gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. But is that who you are? I think to myself, is God impressed with the things I have? Is he impressed with those things? See, Christ knew his place in the kingdom of God. He knew his role here on this earth. See, but it started in his heart. And when he came, it was in his mind to do it because it was in his heart. You finding your place in God's plan, it's got to be in your heart to do before it's going to be in your mind to do. It's got to be in your heart to do it. We all have a job. We all work for a living. But I used to think that my job would make me who I am, would make me happy. If I could just become a doctor, if I could just become a lawyer, if I were famous, then I would be somebody. But in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says that we're all called according to God's purpose. See, I realized that a job is just a place for God to provide me an income. Now, a job versus a career, well, that's a type of work where we might excel and have opportunity to actually fulfill our calling. See, you have a job, and you may have a career, but as a Christian, you have a calling. Everybody, you're not all called to the same thing, but you have a calling. A career is the type of work, yes, but a calling is a special place. I mean, do you honestly think that there is a section of heaven cordoned off for your career type? All the IT people are right up front by the servers and all the Air Force folks are working on the wings of the angels. Is that what you're going to be doing, brother? You're going to be flying. You're going to be flying in heaven. I'm going to fly in heaven. It's going to be awesome. Do you think there's a career section of heaven? No, because that's not what God defines you as. But you do have a calling. A calling is an understanding of what your role in God's kingdom is. It defines you. And it doesn't change based on the location in which you live. You have a call in your life as a Christian. You have a call to walk with God and to glorify God. You have a call to win souls and be about the Father's business. And that doesn't change whether you live here or you live in another state or another country or another continent. It doesn't matter. A calling is what God has said is for you. What God sees for you. See, Christ knew his calling. But it started in his heart. And his heart was to do the Father's will before it ever came into his mind. That's how come this mind was in him. Because it was in his heart first. What is in your heart? Do you have the heart of Christ? You won't have the mind of Christ until you have the heart of Christ. So you recognize God is not just your Savior and lover of your soul. He's the King. And he's got something for you to do. In 1 Corinthians 1, you've heard me talk about that, how God uses ordinary people. But it's interesting to think that God chose us. In 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 20, it says we are to abide in his calling. We're to be about it. Don't be a used-to-be Christian. Well, I used to do that. I used to serve. I used to follow after God. There was a time in my life when I was on fire for God. Well, how do I get that back? Go back to where you were. Go back in your heart, not necessarily your body, but go back in your heart to that time when you were so desiring God like you desired air. You couldn't help it. Get the heart of Christ back, and then you'll have the mind of Christ. And with that in mind, you will actually live the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The problem is when we just try to live the life of Christ as we think God would have us do, if it's not in our heart to do, it'll never last. We'll become used to be Christians. Well, I used to do this. I used to witness. I used to read my Bible. I used to pray. I used to be faithful. I used to sing. But if it's not in your heart to do, it'll never be in your mind. And you can put it on for the praise of the pastor or praise of the deacon or the praise of the church members. But the truth is, if it's not in your heart to do, well, I just don't know why. My life and your life's not what it ought to be because your mind's not what it ought to be because it's not in your heart to be. It's not in your heart to be. You get the heart right, your thinking and your life will be right. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5 that Jesus was in him was life, and that life was the light of men. It's funny how Christ refers to you and I as the light of the world in Matthew 5. That we're to have that. We are to be those lights in this dark place. Luke 11:33 through 36, he's talking about shining through us. Christ can't live his life through us until he can first have our heart, then our mind. Christ made sure his life accomplished the Father's will. And I find myself asking myself personally, what part of the Father's will am I perfecting? What part of the Father's will am I doing? What is my place in the kingdom? Is Christ living through me? He will if it's in my heart to do. Otherwise, it's just a show. It's just going through the motions. Is Christ shining through you? Is Christ progressively becoming the center of your life? You know, until we have the heart of Christ, we'll never have the mind of Christ. And we'll never have the life of Christ. Did you know that your children are sinners? Did you know that? They have a sin nature. Them little infants, those little babies, we think to ourselves, they're so cute, they're so innocent. They're sinners, just like their parents. Yeah, they really are, just like their moms and dads, and just like their siblings. And we think they're so cute, and they have these little shoes, and they have little frilly socks. And how we ran into a lady yesterday in Aldi, and she had these four little stair-step girls, and they're all in little, just little cute. And wherever they danced, little pixie dust would fall, and they were just so cute, and walking in with mama to go grocery shopping. Those little stinkers are sinners. Did you know that? They have a sin nature. And even though they've been taught to sit still and grab onto the cart and be sweet and not make a scene at Aldi, until it's in their heart to serve the Lord, it's just mutually beneficial for them right now to obey. One of these days, you're all going to get put in a position where no one will really know, or it really won't matter, but only you and God will know. And if it's not in your heart to do, it'll never cross your mind. And it'll never come out your hands and your feet and your mouth. And as you look back over the last 7 days or the last month, and you say to yourself, here's where I messed up. Here's where I made a mistake. Here's where I really acted in the flesh. Why that happened is because it wasn't in my heart. My heart wasn't right. And until my heart's right, my mind will never be right. Until my heart and my mind are right, my flesh, my life, my living Christ through me won't be right either. So tonight I want to challenge you. Do you have the mind of Christ? But do you have the heart first to do? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, it is our desire that you live through us, that you glorify yourself, But Father, we recognize that until our hearts are right, we'll never have it in our mind. We'll never think about it. We'll never perfect it. Tonight, Father, as we're challenged from the Bible, we pray, God, that you would stir our hearts to have a heart like you. That what's a priority to you becomes our priority. That what your heart is burdened for, ours will be burdened for. And Father, we don't want to just be a PR campaign, making people think we're okay. We want to be pleasing to you. Speak to our hearts tonight. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.